Take your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3, if you will. 1 John chapter 3. This morning, I got to preach to the teenagers and then to elementary. So I started 11:30. From 11:30 to 12, I preached to teenagers. And from 12 to 12:30, almost 12:35, I preached to the elementary. And certainly enjoy that. Gave out dollars again for lost tooth, and I had several that were just fresh. I just pulled them out to get their dollar, and so praise the Lord. I said, whoa, that one just came out, and what a blessing it is. I preached on salvation. The Bible says, make your calling and election sure. The calling is when the Holy Spirit of God woos you to Christ or calls you, and that's conviction, where he knocks on your door that you need to get saved. That's God's calling for you. God's calling is to all people. The Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. God loves us enough to see that everybody gets some sort of chance and the opportunity to open their heart to God. Even if they don't know all the information, God will lead and guide them. You act on truth, God gives you more truth. But also, I realize that it also says election, calling election. Election is you answering that call. You become the elect when you answer that call. It's not like God has certain that only can answer that call. Whoever answers that call is the elect. If you have a birthday party, I mentioned, you give it to your whole class, but 15 of them show up. They're the guest. They're the elected. They're the ones who showed up, your guest. Everyone in the class is not your guest. Everyone in the class is invited. God wants the whole world to be invited to trust Christ as their Savior, but whoever responds in faith is the elect. Make your calling an election sure. I said, just because you come to a Christian school or go to a good church doesn't mean you're a believer. Just because your mom's a Christian, your dad's a Christian, your older brother, sister is a Christian, doesn't mean you're a Christian. You got to make sure you have personally trusted Christ as your Savior. And then I explain how do you know that you're a Christian. And so I spoke on that and gave several things that they can apply to their own life. And then if they never trusted Christ as their Savior, and it's amazing that many, many were very, very intent on every word. And I showed them how to pray and trust Christ as their Savior. I did that in the elementary, and I did ask them to raise their hand. About 60 children raised their hand. I'm not guessing that that's the first time they prayed, all of them. For a few of them, no doubt it was the very first time they prayed. Children take a little while to understand that once they've trusted Christ, he's with you forever. If he knocked on your door and you said, come in, and he came in, you wouldn't have to keep saying, come in. Come in. Come in. He'd say, I'm already here. I'm already here. And he's already there. And the good news, he came to stay. And praise God for that. So I wanted to make sure they at least heard a very clear presentation of the gospel. Never want to take that for granted. You know, sometimes good churches think that everybody knows that. Well, everybody doesn't. And the devil is a deceiver, but he also is a robber of spiritual truth. You can forget what you heard before. That's why the Bible says, Paul says, I bring you again into remembrance. I want you to hear what I've already told you again. And so we need that over and over and over again. Someone said, we are leaky vessels. Right. We need to constantly be bombarded with truth because we are leaky vessels. It's funny how you can remember something that was bad a long years and years ago, but you can't remember what Pastor preached on last Sunday. Well, don't worry. I forgot too. So don't worry. You're in good company. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And then in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We have fellowship one with another. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave his commandment. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Remember, this last Sunday I preached out of Romans, and it said, Owe no man anything but to love one another. We owe that to each other as believers. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, if that meant agreed on everything, we couldn't walk together with anybody. I couldn't even have a casual walk with my wife if I had to agree on everything. Sometimes I take her silence as agreement. I am sadly mistaken. That's not always agreement. That's just her being kind. Sometimes my silence is not agreement. I'm just being kind. I'm not looking to argue. We differ on almost everything as believers. Can two walk together except they be agreed? What are we agreed on? We're agreed on the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Lord and Savior. Amen. And that is the glue that sticks us together. It's not we have the same personalities. My wife likes to say, she's the balloon and I'm the brick. I don't know if that's true or not, but she says that all over the place, right? And I'm just guessing she knows what she's talking about. I'm the more serious one. She is the more entertaining one. She is fun to listen to. People have to work to listen to me, but she's easy to listen to. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, a healthy relationship, and I hope it'll be a help to every one of us, a healthy relationship. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the principles we find in the word of God. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll help us. We know that life does not consist in the abundance of things that we possess. Life is found and valued in relationships. And Heavenly Father, I pray that we will have good relationships as your children, and we'll have good relationships with each other. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Nothing can be more meaningful in life than good relationships. Husband and wife, we talk a lot about that, preach a lot about that, teach a lot about that. But that's not the only relationship. In fact, we probably went 20 years or more, some cases 20, 25, 30 years before anyone ever had that relation, husband and wife. My wife was 19 and I was 20. But it seems like millennials today like to wait till 30, 35. About 35, they like to move out of the home and start thinking about marriage, something like that. It's just a different world, right? I moved out at 17 and went to college. Husband and wife relationship. Friends. Before we ever even thought about husband and wife, we thought about friends. We had a friend we played ball with. You had a friend you spent time with. You had a friend you had a camp out in the backyard in your pup tent way back when. You had friends. It's amazing that you can have friends from a youth group that you were in years ago. You can have friends you knew in college, and those days are so far gone, and yet you still like to hear about their life. You're Facebook friends now, and you get to say happy birthday to someone you hadn't seen in 40 years or so. I'm dating myself, I know that, but you get to say happy birthday to friends. You haven't seen them in forever, but you remember them well. Friends. The Bible says of Jesus, he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's not only a savior to us, he's our friend.
Amen.
And I tell you what, if you've got good friends, you've got something good.
Amen.
The world is starving for friendships. You ought to thank God for the ones God's given you, and you ought to work to cultivate more in your life. More in your life. This morning I was at chamber, and two of the husband and wife who's in the chamber just happened to thank Grandview Baptist Church for being so welcoming to their parents. And then they said the pastor had their parents over for dinner last Sunday after church. Well, yeah, I did. And they let me know that their children go to the chamber, so I got to know them. But I got to realize, I didn't realize until the dinner was already over, that the gentleman had been in ministry for 60 years as a pastor. Wonderful man of God, wonderful lady of God. What a blessing it was. We certainly enjoyed their company, as well as several others who were able to eat with us as well. Healthy relationships. There's times I just love being around men. I love men's prayer breakfast. I love the guys that are there. I love doing things with a good man who loves Jesus, whether it's hunting or fishing or whatever. You have friends, relationship, healthy. You have husband-wife relationship, friends, boyfriend and girlfriend. You remember those days, don't you? You haven't been married so long, you forgot those things. I remember I was 16 and she was 14. It wasn't Miss Vicky either. I wasn't officially her boyfriend, but we just wrote letters until her dad said no more. She broke it off, crushed my heart. 16 years of age, heartbroken. How can I live another day? Well, I managed. Miss Vicky became my girlfriend. She came to Bible college the very first day. People are saying, "You're Mike Mutchler's girlfriend." She says, "I am." He didn't let me know. And by the way, she still is. She's my girlfriend. Church members. I love people in church. The church I grew up with had wonderful, godly people. The church Vicki and I went to in Bible college, we enjoyed that, and we got to teach as just newly married on Wednesday night. We taught a children's Bible class together. And how we enjoyed that, being just young married couple, but we got to serve in a church, and we enjoyed that. What a blessing that was. We remember our first church. Our first church. When we left, all the teenagers put together a memory book for us. We still have that. All their pictures. It's funny how they're old now. And there were teenagers then. Some of the teenagers in our teen group were older than we were. They were in college age, but we didn't have no college age class. It was small church. Every relationship in life can be a wonderful addition to this life God's given every one of us. Friendships. Relationships. Some of you have brothers and sisters like I do that you rarely ever see, but whenever you get together, it's like you never left. You just laugh, you have fun, you play games, and it's like they live next door, and it's been years since we've been together. And family is like that. You just pick up where you left off and keep on going. How do you have healthy relationships? Let me teach on a few things. Will not be long, but I hope to be helpful to all of us. First of all, we know that God is perfect. That goes without saying. God is perfect. When you have a relationship with God, you have a perfect one-sided relationship. His side is perfect toward us. Our side toward Him, not so perfect. But we have a perfect person to have a relationship with, and that's God Almighty. God is perfect. No one else is. No one else. Oh, she's just perfect. You don't know her very well. Oh, he's so handsome. He's just perfect in every area. I know he's pulling the wool over your eyes. You just haven't found out yet. He's not. We're not. No one else is. There's just no such thing as perfection outside of God. Therefore, no relationship is perfect. You have friendships with friends, but it's not a perfect one. Sometimes you irritate them. Sometimes they irritate you. Sometimes you're a little tiffed at what they said. Sometimes they're a little tiffed at what you said. Sometimes you're just really close, and sometimes it seems like you've drifted a little ways apart. There is no perfect relationship. Every single relationship God gives us, we have to work at. It's like a garden and dandelions. It takes constant maintenance. Oh, you got to kill those dandelions. Now, I know on this property, it's gophers and what else are they? Gophers and mice. We have mice holes. We have gopher holes. We have more holes in our yard than we have dirt. And if you've ever found a way, someone said, well, you get a trap. I know, but I have 500 holes. So what is one trap? How's that help me? Moles and gophers and mice. And someone says, well, if it's this type of hole, it's this. If it's that type of hole, it's that. If it's this type, well, I got them all. Everywhere. Just a bunch of holes and mice and everything. There is no perfect relationship. It has holes in it. It's got pests in it. It's got problems with it. Everything in life has to be cultivated. I love to go to some of our members' church and they have yards that honestly could be put in Better Homes and Garden magazines. It's so beautiful. Don't come look at my yard. It's not. I love that, but I do not want to put forth the effort, the time to maintain that. So it looks like mowed weeds, beautifully level mowed weeds. Every relationship takes maintenance. Friendships, boyfriend, girlfriend back in the day, husband-wife relationship, membership, members' relationship. You know, you probably have church members that you see every single Sunday, but when's the last time you talked to them? When's the last time you had a conversation with them? You see them. You know them by sight. You just don't know their name. You know them by sight. Oh, yeah, he goes to our church. What's his name? It was right on the tip of my tongue. Yeah, sure. What's her name? What do you know about them? Relationships have to be maintained. I said, first of all, God is perfect. I said, second, no one else is. Thirdly, therefore, no relationship is perfect. Fourthly, I want us to see that the only degree of perfection in any relationship is to the degree that God is in control of that relationship. When God's in control of your marriage, you have a good relationship. When God is in control of your friendships, you have good friendships. When God is in control of your other relationships in life, you're going to find that God has a way of making it good. Remember, everything that God created, he said, and it was good. He created and said, well, that's good. Everything God creates is good. And when God's in control of a relationship, it's going to be good. Not perfect, because he's working with us, but it's going to be good when you let God get in it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The more we yield to God, the more we see his fruit manifested in our lives. Amen. By the way, these are not fruits that we imitate. These are not fruit that we conjure up. These are not fruit that we learn to live. These are fruits that God bears just simply by yielding to him. When we yield to the Holy Spirit of God, he brings forth his fruit in our lives. And every one of us need it. Every single one of us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All of those things. We need that fruit of the Spirit. The more we yield to God, the more we see it manifest in our life, the more it brings out a degree of perfection in all of our relationships. The more we ignore that, the more we do not yield to God, the lack of perfection we see in our relationships. We literally see relationships start falling apart. Because when we get away from God, he's the glue that binds our relationships together. Our yieldedness to God is what makes us what we need to be in order to have a healthy relationship. How do you find a mate? How do you find that person? Well, as a Christian, I always say this to young people that one day hope to find someone. The best way to find Prince Charming is to be who you ought to be. The best way to find a good Christian young lady is you be a good Christian young guy. You got to be what you want. You don't get what you want, you get what you are. But when you're the person God wants you to be, they can bring into your life the person that God wants you to have because they are already the person that God wants them to be. And by the way, if you say, well, I think I'm the person God wants me to be, well, it may be that God's waiting on this other person to be who they ought to be in God. And let me just say, you don't want to meet them right now. They aren't worth the introduction right now. Give them time, let God work in their life, and bring them about to be the person God wants them to be, and then you'll say, wow, that's just what I was looking for. Give God time to work in their life just as he has had time to work in your life. God has to do that. Even in husband-wife relationship, sometimes the husband has to wait for God to do something in the life of his wife, or the wife has to wait for and be patient for God to do something in the life of her husband. Many years ago, we had a couple who later became very faithful to our church and very well known. But in the early days, they wanted to work on a bus route. And this is way back in the carpenter's hall. And they said, Pastor, I want to work on a bus route. I know that a lot of teenagers are and some other people are. And I want to do that. I said, well, what's stopping you? Well, my wife doesn't want me to. I said, I wouldn't. Are you saying I shouldn't work on the bus route? I said, yeah, if your wife doesn't want you to, I wouldn't. You're married to her. I wouldn't go against your wife. There's other ways you can serve God that she's happy with. You don't have to serve God that particular way that upsets your wife. If she doesn't want you to do that, don't do it. I've had Sunday school teachers say, Pastor, I've been teaching for a long time, and I hate to say this, but I just don't feel like teaching anymore. What should I do? Don't teach. Who'll take my place? I don't know. Hopefully God does. I think He does. He'll figure that out. If it's time to take a break, take a break. Keep serving God, but not in that capacity. See, God made you a couple, and you got to work together. You got to be what God wants you to be. How do you have God in control? There's ways that we figure out how to do that. And everybody wants to know, how do I know God's in control of my life? Let me suggest a few things. First of all, you both have to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, that's a given. You both have to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Secondly, you both have to submit to biblical authority. And in this case, I'm not talking about a pastor or a spiritual leader. I'm talking about the Word of God. Are you yielded to the Word of God as best you know what the Word of God is trying to tell you? Are you agreed that we're going to do whatever God's Word says? If God says to do that, that's exactly what we're going to do. And do you both agree to follow Bible principle, Bible biblical authority? Both have to submit to that, whether it's what the Bible teaches about purity and commitment and vows and fidelity and love and all of those things. You've got to be on the same page when it comes to what does the Word of God say. It's how you have God in control. You're submitted to His authority. And when the husband is submitted to the authority of God and the wife is submitted to the authority of God, it's just an amazing thing how God has a way of bringing a husband and wife together when they're both committed to the one who started every relationship in the world, God. We submit to Him. He has a way of bringing us together. Number six, I want to say the degree of perfection is not constant, because we're not constant, but only as we submit to God daily. A couple that seeks out God's help only when they're in trouble does not have a bright future. I've pastored long enough that everybody wants to see their pastor when they're in trouble. Pastor, we need your help. I need your help. I'm going to drag my wife in here and you set us straight. Well, that's not the way it works. I share biblical principle, but you got to practice it. Amen. There's no magic words I can say in a church office that changes things. I tell you a biblical principle, now you go live it out and let God do His work. He has the power. See, everybody wants a shortcut. They don't want to hear, well, are you reading your Bible every day? No. Are you going to church as often as you can? No. Are you telling your wife or your husband you love them every day? No. What are you doing you think is going to help? Well, we go out to eat once a week. Even the lost people do that. I mean, pray together. Do something. Give God a chance in your life. A couple that seeks out God's help only when they're difficult will not succeed in the end, as I said. The greatest security in my marriage is every morning I know my wife has her Bible. She has her iPad. Alexander Scorby is going through the Bible. I know where she's at. I know where she's going to be tomorrow. And I can come in almost any time of the day and the Bible's being played. She listens to it about a dozen times a year. And he talks so slow. Drives me crazy. He enunciates well, but it's so slow. But hearing it slow, she will listen to the Bible about 12 times. But I know when the Word of God is plain, and she has that Bible in her lap, I know God is speaking to her heart. And the greatest security she has for our marriage is not that I pastor, not that I preach, but it's when I'm found at home in my rocking chair with this book open. That's the greatest security a godly wife is looking for, a husband who looks to God for guidance. I've had many men in the years say, Pastor, how can I be a better spiritual leader in my home? Do you read your Bible? Well, yeah, I do. Do you read it in public? What do you mean by that? I mean out in the living room so all your family get to see it. Well, no, I read it early in the morning or late at night. Well, that's fine. But read it in a public place so anybody walking through in your family get to see you as a spiritual leader with your Bible open. That's the best security a Christian woman has for her husband is he looks to God for help. Amen. Ladies, I know we all act like we have the answers, but we don't. But we do know God does. He does. And if we're careful and patient, he'll show us the answers. The seventh thing we need to do is acknowledge our imperfections and make allowances for our humanity. Make allowances for our humanity and acknowledge our imperfections. Did you forget that? Yeah, I did. Sometimes my wife will come by and say, honey, are you watering the lawn? Well, I do have the hose on, and it's at a tree. And I think I turned that on 3 hours ago, I guess. It's probably well watered. See, I'm at that age where I don't hear those sounds anymore. But she does. And so she'll say, I think the water's on. Oh, yeah. I forgot. We have a goldfish pond. Every once in a while it evaporates. I got to put a little more water in it. I'm so famous in watering it all the way to the top and beyond. I water half the driveway. Only good thing is I'm on well water, so I'm not wasting. But I'm saying, realize your humanity. Confess to God and confess to each other. I blew it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I apologize. It takes someone who is humble enough and confident enough in who you are as a believer to be able to admit you don't have all the answers. I was texting with a member today, and they were wondering about this problem, this problem. I don't know. I said, I'm in way over my head, but that's why I need God. Someone said, why'd you learn how to swim if you never intended to get over your head? That's how you learn to swim. You get thrown in deeper water than you can touch the bottom of. And if you don't need God, you're in a dangerous part in ministry. You have to have God. Amen. If God don't show up, we're all toast. That's right. Our relationships fall apart. Our life falls. We need God. And live your life like you need God all the time. You'll always enjoy life because you'll see God come through. God come through. When you knew you couldn't, God came through. Three things to do, and then I'm through. First of all, yield to God. Every day, yield to God. Dear God, it's a wonderful day. It's a new God. A new day. I yield myself to you. Yield yourself to God every single day. And if you want to, do it many times a day. Lord, I yield myself to you afresh and anew. I yield myself to you, Lord. Yield yourself to God. Secondly, realize that God wants you to change to affect change in your relationship. I read it wrong a little bit. God wants to change you to affect change in your relationship. People come to me and say, Pastor, how can I change my wife? Or, Pastor, how can I change my husband? Oh, it's real easy. Let God change you. Amen. No, I want to change them. No, you let God change you. And then God will use that to change them. God always has to change us first to fix anything. You say, well, the problem's not me. Have you arrived? Are you perfect? Well, no, but we'll work on that. Let God do His work in you. You know, chances are God knows something in your life irritating somebody else that you're not even aware of. Just let God have His work in your life. Just let God, just yield to God and allow God to change you in order to change your relationship. I remember many years I went through a little time I was just frustrated with Miss Vicky. Now I know you think, what? Well, yeah, I was just frustrated. Well, you know, she's not waiting on me like a good servant should. I didn't say stuff like that. I didn't mean stuff like that, but it's just like, if someone doesn't please you, then something's wrong. You know, that's not what marriage is about, is marrying someone who just pleases us. It's a matter of us pleasing them. And finally, I got to the place where I said, Lord, let me be the best husband I can be. And then all of a sudden, she was the most wonderful person I ever met. God didn't have to change her, but God did have to change me because I stopped living for self. And that's usually our problem. We live for self. We get dissatisfied because self doesn't get what self wants. But it's not about us. It's about yielding to God and His will and His way and to each other. Submit yourself one to another in the fear of God, the Bible says. And then finally, place your relationship on a higher plane. I used to teach on this in the early days back in the Carpenter's Hall, but it's just so helpful. You put everything in your marriage on a higher plane. In other words, I do what I do because of God. I don't do it because He's worthy. I don't do it because she's worthy. I don't do it because I like this or that. I do it because God wants me to do this. And so I do what God wants me to do. I hug him because God says I should love my husband. I help her because God says I should show love to my wife. I should do this and this and this. And so you do it because of God. Put everything on a higher plane. And that should be our motivation for everything as a believer, right? We should do what we do because of God. Not because you married Mr. Wonderful, Mrs. Wonderful, but because God put you together. And let's please Him. Amen. And when we please Him, you're going to find that we automatically please each other because that's just how God works it out. He just works it out that way. You must do what you do to please the Lord. How to have a healthy relationship. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've had. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these principles that are found in your word and founded in the truth of your word. And Lord, I thank you for these good people who come out on a Wednesday night. Lord, I know they love you. That's why they're here. And I know that they're submissive to your word because they came to hear it proclaimed. But Father, would you help all of us? Would you help our friendships? Would you help our relationships? Would you help us with other members? Would you help us with husband and wife and fellow friends and laborers of God together? Lord, help us to love each other. These are desperate times. These are somehow terrible times, but Father, in the midst of it all, don't let these times be a wedge between brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to love each other. Help us encourage each other. We are never going to be on the same mind, but we can have the truth that you are all our Savior, and we've trusted you, Lord, and so we're brothers and sisters, and though we disagree at times, we're going to stick together as a family. We're going to love each other. We're going to pray for each other. We're going to care for each other. Lord, we need you so desperately in our lives and especially in our relationships, all different types of them. I pray you'll help us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Piano is playing, maybe not. And let's just bow our heads for a moment of silence and just talk to the Lord about your relationship. Just try to yield yourself to what God wants you to do. And just trust the Lord for that. Let God have his will. Talk to God about your relationship. Ask him how you can be changed to make things better. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming out tonight, and you are dismissed. God bless you.